Hello, mateys. It's International Talk Like a Pirate Day. Lucky for you, I'm not going to do that. But I want you to know that not every church is going to have a minister in the pulpit with a patch over her eye. Not just any patch, a homemade, made from a mask patch by our very own business manager. How could I not wear this patch? And now it's coming off. Thank you, Leah. And just in case you hadn't figured this out by now, Unity of Wimberley has a few weirdos in it. And if you are not a weirdo today, I highly suggest that you try it on, wear a patch, talk like a pirate, be a weirdo, just for today. It'll stretch you out a little bit, and that's what we're all about here. I'm really glad to be back with you today, my friends. Very glad to be back with you. We have had really a wonderful lineup of speakers over the last few weeks. I am so touched with our people who are not ministers who have spoken to you in the last few weeks. Michael Finn, who you saw earlier today, Aida Pearson. It is so touching for all of us to hear someone's story that is just like us, because in truth, we really are just like each other. In the fact that we are united in spirit, we are individual expressions of spirit. We share so many of the same hopes, dreams, fears, and prayers. And so I thank everyone who has been speaking over the last couple of weeks. I've taken a little bit of a rest. Thank you to Reverend Kit, my partner in crime, as it were. And I'm so grateful for this community. I'll be grateful to have you back in the room here if you live in the Wimberley area. Hopefully, I'll talk about this a little later, hopefully the first Sunday in October. So stay tuned for some more information about that. So my friends, this last week, I did something that I really haven't done over the last 18 months or so. I went to a concert. And it was really nice because everybody that went to the concert at the Paramount Theater in Austin had to show proof of vaccination or a negative test and their IDs. And we all had to wear masks throughout the concert unless we were drinking something. And nobody seemed to mind. And I never thought that I would be sitting at a concert, a packed concert, actually, with everybody wearing masks. That's just not something I ever thought I'd see in my lifetime. And yet, that is something that we are adapting to. That has become part of our normal lives. And it was all okay, because we are doing what it takes to take care of each other. But the other part of that concert that was so great was I got to see the jazz, the jazz great Herbie Hancock. And it was a glorious concert. He is now 81 years old and still touring. It was the first time he's been at the Paramount in Austin they've tried to get him for 40 years. And so to have him in concert here was blissful for everyone who loves his music, anyone who loves jazz. I have to tell you, though, I was classically trained as a musician, and so for a very long time, jazz did not appeal to me, unless it was jazz that kind of followed a regular beat, because that's what my ears were used to hearing and playing. So jazz that was a little more fusion or freeform jazz disturbed me, because my ears wanted it to go a certain direction. My brain wanted to organize it differently, and so I fought against it. And something has shifted in me so that I discovered what many jazz lovers figured out a long, long time ago, is that You don't listen to jazz. Jazz plays in you. You have to just get on and let it take you for a ride and let it take you wherever it's going to go. And that was liberating to me because I had a different appreciation, not only for the music, but for the man who has pioneered so many music forms that have come along after him. Herbie Hancock is a Buddhist, and his philosophy, his way of speaking to the audience, was all about us being one people and looking out for each other and acknowledging everyone as our brothers and sisters. And so it was a very gentle and joyful message when he spoke. And then, man, that music, it was just really fine. And I was really happy to be out and listening to something that brought that those transcendent moments that many expressions of the arts bring to us. So I thank you, Herbie Hancock, and all of the rest of you out there who shared the experience of him being in town. It was fabulous. One of the things that's important for us to do in our spiritual journey is to re-examine where we stand on a regular basis. Otherwise, our beliefs, our way of being, our way of acting and speaking becomes a little crystallized. It gets a little brittle. And it's important for us to ask ourselves some questions that may be very basic at first look, but they're actually things that enrich us and cause us to dig a little deeper. I went back and listened to Finn's talk that he did early in August, and he talked about coming up in a religious belief system that made him fearful. And at some point, the tension of that fear had to shift into something that was more liberating, more in tune with who he knew he was at his core. And that journey of discovery is what our spiritual life is about. We never just stop in one place and decide that we've got it now and we don't need to learn anymore, we don't need to experience anymore, we don't need to take on a new way of thinking anymore. It's important for us to ask ourselves, what do I believe today? What do I believe about God today? What do I believe about my place in the world today? What do I believe about the power of my prayers today? That's a good example, the power of prayer. If someone asks you to pray for them, do you ever have that little nagging thought that your prayer doesn't make a difference? Do you ever have that moment of thinking, well, I really don't know how to pray, so how can I pray for this person? I'll do the best I can, but let me tell you something, beloved. The moment you have the intention to pray for someone else before all those other thoughts have a chance to intrude, the moment you have the intention to pray for another person, you're already doing it. Even if it's nothing more than a positive regard for someone else, even if it's nothing more than a loving thought, it makes a difference. I can't tell you why it makes a difference, except that prayer is an energetic movement that is compatible and necessary to the energetic experience of spirit in our lives. So when you pray, yes, you're making a difference to someone else, and you're making a difference to yourself, because you're saying, yes, I trust that when I offer my prayer, no matter how inadequate I think it might be, I'm making a difference. I'm adding to that energetic flow. I'm intensifying it, if you will, with my intention, with my attention. So that's one place that we can always look at how we're praying. If you feel like you need the details about somebody's life, somebody's experience in order to pray for them, let me just lay that assumption to rest. Because it's not necessary for you to know the details. Sometimes knowing the details distracts us because we have this normal curiosity, we have this desire to fix, we have this desire to advise, we have this desire to get into those details. We don't need to. If someone shares them with you, then we're still going to let prayer override whatever we think about those details. So that's one place that we can re-examine where we stand in our spiritual life. When you first came into the study of truth as we practice here, as we teach here, do you remember that liberating kind of pink cloud feeling that you had? Wow, I've never thought about this way before. Do I dare? Is it okay? Oh my gosh, it is okay. These affirmations, this positive prayer, this not pleading with God about things, this idea that I am valuable to the universe. Wow, this is great. And so we ride that for a while. It gives us a lot of momentum. It gives us a lot of inspiration. And then we get to a point where we go, oh gosh, but life is still happening. What do I do now? And that's when we begin to dig a little deeper and see how our way of thinking about spirit becomes the default position to dealing with life as it comes to us. Now, in the beginning, when new thought was taught and people began to have this realization that they were not bound by, limited by their belief about life, about their bodies, about their prosperity, there was a big focus at that time about manifesting stuff. We've been talking about that in our Wednesday night class all through this month. It continues through October. I'll speak about that in a moment. But it was really important for us to manifest stuff, to have something material to show for our spiritual work. And that's a good way to get started. Treasure mapping, having an intention to have something show up in your life. That's a good way to get started. That's like when the baby is taking protein in the form of milk or formula and then soft food. But then eventually we begin to need a different kind of protein. We need to be able to eat things that are a little bit harder to take in. Fruits and vegetables. Meats, if you go that direction, fish. And so as we mature in our spiritual life, we begin to take on not so much the manifestation of stuff, although that still comes. That is an abundant life that we live, whether it's possessions or health or relationships or our life's work. But the part that gets a little deeper for us is having a vision not only for the fulfillment of our life's purpose, our imprint in the universe, but it begins to encompass all people. It begins to lift all boats that are in the tide. And so our visioning becomes more expansive. It becomes more universal. It becomes the higher intentions in our life, while still appreciating all the things that we have, all the circumstances around us. So when I talk about a new vision and a new hope, the title of today's talk, I am talking about letting that vision get a little higher, a little broader, a little deeper, Do you get the idea of that, that it's going in many directions? That's important for us. That's important for us as we mature in our spiritual quest. So that's the first part, is where is your vision? Have you had a new vision for yourself lately? Have you had something in your life that required you to stretch a little bit farther than you'd gone before? Probably yes. In case you haven't noticed, the last few years have revealed some, I'll call it, polarity in our society. And this really causes us to begin to see what's really important to us at a deep, deep level. What are the truths that we will stand for? What is the vision that we hold for all of us? In what ways are we contracted and angry and combative? And in what ways are we deeply convicted, so much that we can speak about them with a soft voice and carry as much power? Whether that's literal or figuratively. All this polarity is causing us, it is a cause and effect. It is causing us to see what is really important to us. The things that we might have battled in the past, we don't have the time for that anymore. The things that are more important to us, the things that cause us that moment of tension in which we're not really sure where we stand, we're not really sure, why do I feel so uncomfortable about this? We are on our way to an evolution, and part of the evolution is experiencing that tension before we break through. And I have a feeling that a lot of the discomfort that we're having right now as a people is because of that evolution that's taking place right now, this great shift that we're in right now. And it is absolutely essential, absolutely, that we see who we are, what we stand for, what's important for us, what the deeper truth is. And it's not always easy to let go of some of those old beliefs. It's not always easy to put aside the way we used to battle about stuff and fight about things. It's important, though, that we just hang in there. Beloved, just hang in there until we see what's next. That's the way we're all going right now. This is a very important time, very important. And it requires us to pay attention. So, first thing is we're going to look at how we're holding our vision. Is our vision now about manifesting more of spirit in our daily lives in every way that we can? Knowing that we're going to slip and slide and not do it perfectly, that's the other piece of the puzzle. We have to be very compassionate about ourselves and others. We're looking at what we believe. What do we really, really believe? Do we really believe that God is everywhere, present in its entirety all the time? Or do we think that God is selective about where God's going to show up? That's not my God. I don't think that's your God either. So what that leads us to is then being grateful for everything in life, even the stuff that troubles us. Do you know, I get myself all worked up sometimes because I've had a house in Austin on the market for 6 weeks and it hasn't sold yet. And man, I can go down that rabbit hole. I can do it. I have done it. And the tireder I am, the more I've been through in the day, the more out of control that is. Yes. Until I'm just like, nee, 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 nee. And I discover I'm not breathing and my shoulders are up all around my ears. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. And I go, oh, wow. Okay, wait a minute. Let me get myself back in God again. Just hang on a second. Do I have everything that I need for today? Yes, I do. Is my heartfelt desire that everyone has everything that they need for today? Yes, it is. Am I affirming that God is everywhere present in every situation, even my house? Yes, I am affirming that. Yes, that is what I truly believe. And when I'm holding that belief, I cannot get stuck in the other stuff. I just can't. So what I do is give thanks for the perfect people to live in my former home that are even now preparing themselves to find that house and say yes. I'm giving thanks for that right now. I'm giving thanks to you guys for that home that you are right now preparing with all of the hassles of construction. Knowing that you already hold this warm light in the middle of it that is the place of home, your heart home for your family. I'm talking to the Finns here. I'm seeing that with you. And I'm not even sure where your property is, but I'm seeing that with you. And I am seeing the perfect manifestation of goodness for everyone, not just me, because we are together. It is a sweet burden for us. Sweet and necessary burden. That we continue to remember the families of all the people, the 670,000 Americans who left this earth just from the pandemic, along with all the other deaths that would have occurred. We continue to hold that. And we continue to hold prayers of healing and comfort for all those that are in the hospitals right now. We continue to hold a prayer for the safety and health of all the people around the world who are underserved by health systems. We continue to do that. If the weight of prayer feels too big, remember that it is not a burden that we carry all by ourselves. We join with many of many faiths, of many practices, of many geographical locations. We hold those prayers with each other, and that makes the burden a little bit lighter. And we hold it for those who don't pray at all. Don't we? Because our prayers are very local and our prayers are very universal. And I would ask you, if that is not part of your belief system, if that's not part of your spiritual practice, that you begin to think about incorporating it. And if I say anything today that makes you go, no, I just don't think I want to do that, I can tell you that that little bit of resistance is that part of you that is aching to grow. That's just the way it is. Darn it. It's just the way it is. I'm coming back around to that idea of gratitude about everything. Everything, even the yucky stuff. Because everything in our lives is a teacher. Everything in our lives is shaping us. And we can decide to go along with it, or we can decide to resist it and fight with it. I've been trying to think of a really good example. It's such a big concept that it's hard to find real world examples, except that, let's just say you're in a swimming pool. And you're feeling the water, and you're part of the water when you're in it. When you get out of the pool, is the pool gone? No, it's still there. Water's still there. Even if it's not that pool, there's a pool somewhere else. Even when you don't feel wet, the pool still exists. You have incorporated that as part of you. The same is when you step away from God, it doesn't mean that God went away. You stepped away. Although you're still in God, you're just not conscious. And our journey, our work, is about being conscious more and more and more and more. And saying, yes, thank you for this today. Oh, yes, I forgot. I didn't think about you for half a day today. I didn't even think about God whatsoever. I'm back. And we do that over and over and over again until we realize that we are living and moving and having our being in our foundation of spirit truth. That's what we're doing. I want to share with you a story, and then I'll finish for today. Just want to mention that the book we've been studying, and you can tell that just in this month, my book is kind of beat up and marked, and I have little note tabs in it. We're studying spiritual economics, the principles and process of true prosperity. And Leah, you've been in that class. How many times have we actually said the word money? 4 or 5 maybe, over about 7 chapters. This is about living a life of abundance. And what I love about this little book, I've studied it so many times, is that it continues to give us pieces of scripture and frame them in a new way so that we understand them a little bit better. And one of the stories that Eric Butterworth tells is about the idea of the Sermon on the Mount and the feeding of the people, the feeding of the, depending on the gospel you read, the 4,000, the 5,000. Nobody was there to record the event, write it down as it was happening, so we don't know how many people were there, but it was a lot. And when it came time to feed the people, Jesus said, bring the food, and let's see what we've got to feed all these people. They'd all journeyed from their various villages. They were all gathered on the hillside. Jesus was talking to them. It was time to eat. So they gathered all the food, and they come up with 2 fishes and 5 loaves. Hardly enough for a multitude of people. So what Jesus does is he takes this meager amount. I have to think that he was probably going, really? This is it? All of you guys came here today and this is what we have? Knowing Jesus, he may not have thought that. That might just be a Jill thing. But he said, okay, let's bless this food. He lifted it up. He raised his eyes. He raised the food. And he thanked God for these gifts. And he said, now feed these people. And lo and behold, there was enough food for everyone. And they had 12 baskets of food left over. Huh. So if you heard that story when you were little, you probably went, uh-huh, right? Another one of those miracles we can't explain. I can understand that. I thought that for a really, really, really long time. But something happened that day. Jesus had a higher vision, but these people would be fed. He had a higher vision. He had gratitude. He said, thank you, God, for this food. He affirmed that it would be enough, that it was enough. And there was. So we call miracles those things that happen that we haven't been able to wrap our head around that could actually have occurred in the world of solid things and physics. But in the working of spirit, things happen, and you know it because you've experienced it. Things happen that we're just going, oh my gosh, how did that happen? How did that? Wow. So, yeah, I could come up with an explanation that people from neighboring villages came with their food and said, here, we have food. Or it could be that people saw that there were a few who brought their loaves and their fish, and they went, oh, yeah, I was hanging on to all this for me. This is my picnic basket, and I'm not sharing it with anybody. And they saw that, and they went, oh, here, have some of mine. Here, have some of mine. Here. I like to think that's what really happened, that the generosity of a few, blessed and given thanks by Jesus for, moved people to be more than generous with what they had. What a beautiful story that is. What a beautiful story that the actions of a few and the blessing of one resulted in the feeding of many. That's our hope. That's our hope. Your assignment, your homework, is to go forth and offer your loaves and your fishes. To say, I have enough. I'm grateful for it. I'm sharing it. I will see how my beliefs are shifting today. I will hold that higher vision. And I will be a blessing to the universe. That's what we're about. It's not hard. It might be new, but it's not hard. And we do it together. We do it together. Makes it a lot easier. And so now, I invite you just to take a moment to rest in the peace of God. Just rest in it. Know that even if your attention was fractured today, even if you didn't catch everything, your listening ears heard it at a deep level. Everything that you need to know is revealed to you in its perfect time and in its perfect way. What is required of each of us is to be open and receptive to that living spirit that is ever fresh, ever inspiring us, bringing us to a deeper understanding. So if there is any part of your heart and mind that is closed today, will you just open it a little bit and let yourself know that all is well, all is safe, and that your highest good is right now at hand. I know that if you speak with the Great Spirit today, let it come from a place of innocence, if you will, and openness. And it's okay if you say, wow, it's been a while. Hi, God. I've missed you. And then let that light flood your very being. Remember what Finn said to us a few weeks ago from Rumi, the wound that you have is where the light gets in. So if a part of you feels broken today, let that be the place where the light comes in. Right now, just right now, you and God. And if your eyes open and tears fall, let it be like rain that nurtures the very soil of your being. And as is right and good, as you are open and receptive right now, let the Spirit flow from you now to bless many. The multitudes for which we have no number. And let it bless those that are nearest and closest to you. Today especially, we hold our friend Santa, who has been in her own struggle with her health, even as she holds close to the Spirit of light and truth and healing. We add our prayers to her today and her family. Know that as you say, "Hello, beloved, I am with you," she knows. She gets it. As do all those for whom you pray today. And as is right and good, we give thanks. We give thanks for what is and what is to be, for surely it dwells in the realm of possibilities, in the realm of potential, in the realm of manifestation. And we say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. And let your tender heart say, and so it is. Amen.